White nose syndrome was first observed by biologists in the state of New York in the winter of 2007. Some symptoms of white nose syndrome are a fungus on the muzzle or noses of bats, on the forearms, wing membranes, and tails and ears of bats. Not all bats in affected sites have this fungus. Some other signs or symptoms of white nose syndrome are abnormal behaviors. So bats are flying out of their caves in the winter. Bats in the Northeast, they eat insects, and so they are active when insects are active, which would normally be between the spring and the fall. They store fat in the fall and then hibernate for the entire winter and would come out again around April or May when insects are active. Unfortunately, bats appear to be starving in some of our caves and mines and are coming out in January, February, or March and dying on the landscape. So that's one of the most severe symptoms of white nose syndrome. We're also seeing bats that are non-responsive when humans enter caves or mines. Normally, bats would wake up, fly around a bit, and then land. And at some of our sites, the bats are just not responding at all to human entry or disturbance. And another sign is just lots of dead bats at some of our sites. So the worst effects would be dead or dying bats, and the most minor symptoms that we're seeing is just the presence of a fungus or bats roosting in odder places, close to the entrances of caves or mines, not far back into areas where they would be less likely to be disturbed or potentially eaten by predators. In early June, researchers from at least 8 universities, federal agencies, and state biologists from the Northeast and actually from across the country got together to discuss existing results of what white nose syndrome may be, discuss what people have been doing in the field, develop hypotheses for what might be causing white nose syndrome, and decide what we want to do to both minimize the potential spread of white nose syndrome, if it is something that is spread, and work together to find out what white nose syndrome may be. At the meeting, we developed several hypotheses to try to find the cause of white nose syndrome. So that includes looking at why they appear to be starving to death. Is it that they're not putting on enough fat in the fall, which is that very important time for them to store enough fat to get through the winter? Are they able to store the fat in the fall, but then something's happening to them while they are in hibernation, causing them to burn up the fat at a much quicker pace than normal? Is the fungus or virus or some other unknown pathogen directly causing the mortality? Are contaminants somehow related, either directly affecting the bats or their food supply? Or is there some sort of combined cause through multiple factors? Those are some of the hypotheses that we're going to be developing field and lab investigations to try to test and determine what the potential causes may be. To address the questions about what may be causing white nose syndrome and also to try to manage the potential spread, we're forming small working groups. The groups contain individuals from universities, state and federal agencies, and non-governmental organizations. And we're developing protocols to determine the best ways to carry out the necessary research activities. In the Northeast, the species that we know the most about happens to be an endangered species, the Indiana bat. And the Indiana bat is very interesting in that the females form these social groups and they raise their young together. And so right now in June, females are forming these colonies, or the colonies have already formed and they're starting to have baby bats, which are called pups. Indiana bats will have up to one pup per year. And it will take about 1 month for the pups to be able to fly on their own. In the Northeast, Indiana bats appear to stay fairly close to their winter hibernaculum, traveling up to 50 or so miles. So while we found the signs of white nose syndrome in the winter, the bats have now traveled several miles to 50 or so miles to much more than that, maybe a couple hundred miles or so for some species. The bats are now on their summer ranges, and the females have formed the maternity colonies. It is unclear if we can observe any signs of white nose syndrome in the summer. We're working to develop protocols to examine bats on their summer range to determine whether there's anything abnormal or any signs of white nose syndrome in the summer. To date, the only signs or symptoms of white nose syndrome have been documented in the winter and in the spring. The original four sites in the winter of 2006 to 2007 were all in New York State. We now have up to 30 affected winter sites in four states: New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Vermont. This apparent spread occurred in the winter of 2007 and 2008, with most of the sites being documented in January through March. Since then, we've accomplished quite a bit as a group of federal and state agencies and non-governmental organizations working together to develop protocols to try to prevent the spread of white nose syndrome. Many labs have volunteered their time, like the New York State Department of Health, Boston University, the Cornell, the USGS, National Wildlife Health Center. So we have multiple labs that have been working together to investigate the potential causes of white nose syndrome. We've been collecting field samples. It's important to remember that it takes time to find the cause of a brand new potential disease or other ailment. We've only been working on this for a few months, and it's really still a mystery about what's causing the deaths of all of these bats. We have six species of bats in the Northeast that winter in caves and summer using trees or homes or other structures for their summer roost sites. And these bats all eat insects. They can eat half of their body weight up to their actual body weight in a given night. So bats are really friends to all of the gardeners and farmers who have pests that are eating their crops.